Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. I am your host, Austin Peterson. Today is Wednesday, July the 23rd, and today we're going to be talking about a question that's come up over the last week that's caused a whole hell of a lot of controversy, and it's the title of this podcast. And just because the title of this podcast is pretty incendiary, you may be wondering, what the hell is wrong with Austin Peterson? Why would he ask if Ron Paul hates America? And the reason why I ask that question is to use what I like to call Alinskyite tactics. Some of you people who are familiar with my podcast may have heard of the man named Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals. He was a socialist radical, but he was someone who wanted to put together a strong movement of socialists that could effectively take over the institutions of power here in the country in order to bring his ideas to power. And I am fully aware that the socialists are using these tactics to take over the government. They've already done so. And I think that it's time that libertarians start to use these tactics too. So when people say, Austin, do you really believe that Ron Paul hates America? Let me just answer the question unequivocally. No, I don't believe that Ron Paul hates America. But let me just tell you, I think he sounds like he hates America. And here's why. AP put out a story this last week over the issue of the MH17 plane crash. Some of you heard about the plane crash that went down in Ukraine, and it's being blamed on Russian separatists who may have been given their missile launcher from Russia, which would implicate Putin in the deaths of the people on the airliner. Now, this is the headline that came from the AP. Ron Paul defends Russia after Malaysian plane crash. Now, this is just from the AP two days ago. Let me read this to you. Former Congressman Ron Paul defended the Russian government on Sunday and slammed Western leaders for spreading propaganda after a Malaysian airline plane was allegedly shot down by Kremlin-backed separatists in Ukraine. Western politicians and media joined together to gain the maximum propaganda value from the disaster. It had to be Russia. It had to be Putin, they said. The former presidential candidate wrote, while Western media outlets rush to repeat government propaganda on the event, there are a few things they will not report. One of those unreported things, Paul claimed in his column, was that the United States was responsible for destabilizing the region. Ukraine is currently embroiled in violent conflict between the Ukrainian government and the pro-Russian separatists. And Paul says, they will not report that the crisis in Ukraine started late last year when EU and US-supported protesters plotted the overthrow of the elected Ukrainian president, Viktor Yanukovych. Without US-sponsored regime change, it is unlikely that hundreds would have been killed in the unrest that followed, nor would the Malaysian Airlines crash have happened, Paul wrote. Well, that's a little bit of speculation on Paul's part that it would not have happened if the United States had not intervened. Now, obviously, I am a non-interventionist libertarian. I have the same ideas as Paul when it comes to staying out of our government, staying out of foreign affairs. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't have my own personal opinion about what's happening overseas. So, for example, the conflict with Israel and Gaza, I may not believe that American money and weapons should be going to Israel. That doesn't mean I may not support them morally. But you have to have a little bit of a difference. Now, let's get back to the issue here. And the reason why I think it's a problem that we have the headlines, Ron Paul defends Russia after Malaysian plane crash, are one, because he's seen as sort of a figurehead for the libertarian movement, and two, because I think it sounds like he hates America. Now, some people probably do hate America, and the reason why they hate America is maybe because they're just socialist a-holes overseas, and they're just jealous of us. Maybe they really do hate us for our freedoms, and that's something else that we can talk about. But you know what? Some people Some libertarians may actually despise the United States. I don't think that Ron Paul is one of them. But one of the things that people like socialists and people who do despise America, maybe former Soviet nostalgic, people who are nostalgic for the Soviet Union, would use these same kinds of tactics that Ron Paul is using to defend the actions of a big government overseas. And here's the thing. If you're a libertarian, ladies and gentlemen, you shouldn't be defending a big government overseas. But here's the thing. The AP headline, Ron Paul may not have been defending Putin and his government. He may not think he is, but he's doing so. You know, George Orwell had a quote that said, when he was talking about fighting the Nazis, George Orwell wrote that pacifism is objectively pro-fascism. And he did take that quote back years later. But it doesn't, just because somebody takes back a statement that they said doesn't mean that the statement they said is false. And here's why I think it's a problem, Ron Paul's rhetoric on this, because it does sound like Soviet apologia. It does sound like, and again, we're not talking about, Russian apologia, because why would you want to sound like you're defending a big government overseas? And I think probably the first gut reaction most libertarians would say is, well, I want to do this to avoid war with Russia. Well, I don't think that there's really any danger of war with Russia. Now, maybe, you know, the craziest of crazy neocons, people like John McCain or Lindsey Graham, are like trying to stir up a war with Russia, but nobody's really listening to those guys anymore. And if you haven't noticed, there's a new figurehead for the Republican Party, and it's Rand Paul. And here's the thing. I want to talk to you about what went on during the Cold War from the Soviet apparatchiks and the kind of rhetoric that they use, and why I think it's problematic for Ron Paul to be using the kind of rhetoric that he's using. This is a concept called whataboutism. And I'm going to read this. Yeah, I have to apologize for you. I'm going to read this to you from Wikipedia because I think it's got the best definition of what whataboutism, quote, is. Whataboutism is a term for the two-coke logical fallacy popularized by The Economist for describing the use of the fallacy by the Soviet Union in its dealings with the Western world during the Cold War. The tactic was used when criticisms were leveled at the Soviet Union, wherein the response would be, well, what about, followed by the naming of the event about the Western world, loosely similar to the original item of criticism. So what I'm saying here is that every time something wrong happens overseas, or every time a big government does some evil thing overseas, Ron Paul comes out and says, well, what about the United States? What about the United States? In order to show the hypocrisy of the American government for making a stance on that. Now, here's the thing. Ron Paul is logically correct. There is a lot of hypocrisy on the behalf of the American government for what they do. But the problem is that when you start sounding like Soviet apparatchiks or real America-hating socialist liberals, then you have a problem, because it does not shine a positive light on libertarianism when Americans think that we do hate America, which is not the case. Maybe some misanthropic libertarian basement dwellers actually do hate the United States and everything we stand for, but that's, you know, another subject. But when every time something bad happens overseas, you say, well, obviously this is related to the United States and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? First of all, you're just wrong. Not everything that bad that happens overseas is the United States' fault. It's not just because Russia invaded Ukraine in order to secure their warm water port in Sevastopol and the Crimean Peninsula. I don't think that that is because the United States and European powers tried to ousted Viktor Yanukovych and they wanted to replace the leader. Sometimes Russia actually wants something because they want something. It's about power for them too. And the United States is not necessary. Just because I would say the government is a hypocrite. That doesn't mean that libertarians can't call out Russia without having to use an example of, oh, hey, well, the United States does it too. And let me use another example of this from yesterday. And this is actually a good buddy of mine. And I'm not doing this to call him out directly because I think he's a good guy. I just think the tactics are wrong. But I'm looking at a post by my buddy Connor Boyack yesterday. He's the guy who wrote the Mormon Libertarians book. And he wrote about the Malaysian air flight. He says, the Malaysian air flight that was apparently shot down, while the world rushes to judgment and condemns Putin, Let's remember a similar point in history for context. This is Connor going, well, what about Iran Air Flight 655 was a civilian passenger flight that was shot down by a Navy missile on July 3rd, 1988. The incident took place in Iranian airspace and killed all 290 passengers. George Bush, then vice president, campaigning to become president, commented, said, I will never apologize for the United States. I don't care what the facts are. And then Connor finishes. Now, this is the important part. Here's how Connor finishes his statement. He says, and Americans wonder why so many around the world distrust and dislike them. Well, no, Connor. People probably hate us around the world, not because of our arrogance necessarily, although that may be part of it, but people probably hate us because they're a bunch of socialist backwaters and they're jealous of our success. Now, libertarians, one of their favorite things is to make fun of a statement that George Bush made about, oh, they hate us for our freedoms. And it's funny, you know, it sounds jingoistic and it sounds overly simplistic. But the more you delve into the foreign policy history of the United States and into the war on terror specifically, and the actors in the war on terror, the more you realize that there are actually people who do despise us for our freedoms. And when I say that with a firm understanding of the Muslim Brotherhood, the man who basically started the Muslim Brotherhood. He was Osama bin Laden's intellectual ancestor, the guy who was an Egyptian revolutionary by the name of Sayyid Qutb. Now, I want to give you this name because I really want you to look into this guy's history. And I'll give you the name of a documentary that you can look into if you want to, if you're more of a visual person rather than a reader. But Sayyid Qutb, S-A-Y-Y-I-D, Sayyid Qutb, Q-U-T-B, Sayyid Qutb. I would like you to look up this guy because this is a man when he wrote in his diary about he hated the opulence of the United States. He hated our dancing together, that our men and women would get together and we would dance. And he described how he went to a high school dance here in the United States and he saw he was disgusted by seeing the young boys and girls dancing together. Now this is our freedom here in the United States that we cherish, that we are a liberal country, that we are allowed to, men and women are allowed to dance together, and that we're allowed to have our women be free, and we're very liberalized compared to the Muslim world. Now, Sayyid Qutb is someone who actually hated America for our freedoms. And the thing is that I worry sometimes that libertarians, when they make these sorts of jokes about foreign policy, they hate us for our freedoms, haha, it betrays a lack of full understanding of the true nature of what we are against. Now, just because I'm a non-interventionist libertarian, it doesn't mean that I don't believe that there are threats around the world. And it also means that I think we should acknowledge those threats, Russia being one of those primary threats. And the thing is that, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to, every time some evil happens overseas, if every time that happens, you go, what about when United States did blah? I think it's a logical fallacy, and I also think that it's bad for PR. You may be correct, you may be absolutely correct that the United States is hypocritical, but I think that the perceptions of this are incorrect. And also, I just want to talk about headlines here for a moment, because my experience is in the media. I want to talk to you about what it means to write a headline as someone who is a journalist. I can't write a headline unless that headline is true. Now, undoubtedly, reporters will try and spin a headline in order to try and come up with maybe the worst potential headline for their political opponent. They don't want their political opponent to gain ground, so they're going to try and spin something. But if it's not true, you can't publish it. Now, obviously, some people do publish lies, but those people are usually discredited and they move on. I don't think that that the Libertarian Republic is going to be accused of that. I mean, I definitely try and advance the ideas of liberty, and I use Alinskyite tactics, but I try and be as objective and as honest and fair as I possibly can be while making it known that I'm a libertarian. But here's the problem. When you look at the AP, the Associated Press headline this morning, and you say, Ron Paul defends Russia after Malaysian plane crash, Ron Paul gave them that headline. And that means that he was wrong. That means that if tactically his idea was to advance the ideas of liberty, he failed on that account. And as big a supporter of Ron Paul as I am, I think it's important that we sort of separate ourselves from a cult of personality that would ever say that, oh, someone can't be wrong. And somebody made a really good joke yesterday. They said, I only disagree with Ron Paul when he disagrees with Murray Rothbard. Well, that's pretty funny. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, is that everybody can be wrong. I can be wrong. I've been called out on it. Certainly, I understand that. But again, I'm not Ron Paul here, and I don't have a cult of personality. If anything, I've tried to push away a cult of personality because I'm not here to confirm anybody's biases. If anything, I've pushed away the most of my supporters because I don't confirm biases, and I don't like confirming biases because I think that the truth oftentimes is something that can't be sugarcoated, and you should tell the truth to people no matter what, even if it hurts people's feelings. And I brought this up because, you know, I'm reading a thread this morning from a man who is disparaging me on his Facebook page. He's very angry. He's quoting me where I go, the more I listen to Ron Paul, the more I think he actually despises this country. And that is a direct quote from me. And of course, I didn't mean that. I was using that to call the subject into question. And Rocco Lucente says, you are quite literally a disgrace to our entire movement, Austin Peterson. Whoa. The fact that you equate what Ron said with hating America because he points out that we are to ISIS in Syria what Russia is to the extremists demonstrates a really terrible understanding of cause and effect. No, I get it, Rocco. And then he goes, to point out that there is a moral equivalency between what we are doing and Russia is doing is elementary, and to deny the equivalency is to become nothing short of a cheerleader for big government. Oh, really? It saddens me to see that this is the path you have chosen. It saddens me! The drama! Oh, God, go Rocco, please. And then, of course, there's the haters piling in, you know, people are like, oh, Austin has gone off the deep end. Yeah, well, you know, it's caused an enormous foreign policy debate here in the libertarian movement. And that's exactly what I wanted to happen, because I think that even if you're right sometimes, tactically, you're wrong. And so it's important for us to understand how we come off. It's just like another piece that I published this morning. Should libertarians support the Confederacy? And no matter how you feel about the Confederacy, you must understand how you come off if you wear a Confederate flag. If you wear a rebel flag, certain people are going to feel a certain way towards you. Now, if you're trying to win an election, if you're trying to curry favor with the general public, probably not a good idea to wear a Confederate flag. And I compared it this morning to wearing a Che Guevara shirt, right? So if you ask someone, oh, well, you're wearing a Che Guevara shirt, do you support firing squads? Do you support the repression of jazz music and rock and roll? And people, the person who's wearing that shirt would probably say, oh, no, I don't support that. But that's how you come off. And that's really what we're talking about here, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about how you sound. So, no, I don't think Ron Paul despises America. I think he sounds like he despises America. And I think that libertarians need to be very careful about how we come off. And the reason why is because if we want these ideas to be mainstream, and I'm going to actually read a quote here from this thread from my friend Donna Rachel Edmonds. And I think she absolutely nailed this. I think that she really understands here what I'm trying to go for. She goes, Rocco, you logically you're correct. Practically, you're way off. I have, I admit it, lied in my lifetime. Sometimes I tell lies as an adult. It makes my life easier. If my kid lies, do I tell them off for it? You betcha. If my sister or best friend lies to me and I find out, do I call her out on it? You betcha. Hypocritical? Yes. Human? Hell yes. And then Donna goes on to say, now you're absolutely right that the U.S. should sort out its foreign policy and stop funding the Christian killers, also known as ISIS. But Russian sponsorship of rebel groups is also wrong. And to insist that the U.S. sort out its own house before it criticizes Russia may be a lofty ideal, but so is communism. The question is it practical? Is it workable? Does it conform to human nature? And the answer is no. And Donna says, Austin is right. Libertarians must start thinking about how our policies play practically as well as ideally, or we'll never be taken seriously. And we must consider what our statements sound like to non-libertarians, or we'll never be taken seriously. It's all very well to be an ideologue, as I am, and as I am as well, Donna. But you could have the best ideology in the world if you never get to implement it. It's no good to anyone. So in closing, what we want to avoid doing, ladies and gentlemen, is giving our enemies the headlines they need. You remember after the debates in Ron Paul and the Republican presidential debates where he talked about 9/11 and blowback? Well, the neocons immediately attacked him saying, oh, well, you just hate America because you blame 9/11 on America. Well, that's not what he was doing. He was trying to educate about a very important concept. But his enemies gained the higher ground because the rhetoric was used impractically. It wasn't used to its proper in its proper format in a way that people could understand that Ron Paul didn't hate America. He was just trying to educate people about an important concept. So don't give our enemies the headlines that they want. And now, if at the end of this, you're still politically butthurt and you're like, oh, well, I'm just going to do this anyway. I'm just going to say what I want the truth is, and it's the truth and it hurts people's feelings. Yes, there is a time and place for that, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm giving it to you right now, right here to the libertarian movement, bold-faced, bald-faced truth. So if you don't like it, just understand the problem is probably not the message. The problem is how you're crafting it. Thank you very much for listening to the Freedom Report podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Have I offended you today? If not, I'm not doing my job. I need to get back on it. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you'll visit the Libertarian Republic every single day and go to our sister site, Liberty Viral, where you'll get lots of great news about economic freedom and personal liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com.